Hello, this is Derek Frost from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from the Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is generously underwritten by Brian Lee Funeral Homes, located in Raleigh, Garner, and Anger. They can be reached at 919-832-8225. They believe every life is unique and deserves to be honored so that every funeral is as unique and special as the person it represents. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. And we start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the headline for a special report, BPTW, which stands for Best Places to Work, where work rocks. These Triangle companies keep their employees engaged and their businesses rolling. The special report is located inside the Triangle Business Journal with a cover page, BPTW 2019 Best Places to Work. And to start, we'll read the first entry from each category. They're differentiated by size. First, extra large companies. Edward Jones, headquarters St. Louis, number of full-time employees in Triangle, 434, founded 1922. Industry, financial services, CEO or top executive, Willard Causey. List the major accomplishments at your workplace that propelled your company to being one of the best places to work in 2019. We are partnership-centered. Owners have a different attitude than employees. As a firm owned by associates, we are all in this together. Veterans train and mentor less experienced financial advisors to open new branches nearby. We are family-friendly. The flexibility to accommodate family matters is built into our two-person branches. Financial advisors open a convenient branch location and set hours for that branch. What method do you undertake to raise employee morale? Edward Jones is a partnership owned by 24,400 limited partners, likely America's largest operating partnership. All associates, branch office administrators, financial advisors, and home office associates eventually are eligible to become limited partners and share in firm revenue. Nearly 50% are limited partners. Edward Jones also devotes 24% of net profits annually, $229 million in 2018, to profit sharing for associates employed 6 months or more who work at least 20 hours weekly. Name a unique benefit or perk you are offering employees this year. This year, volunteerism is significant, part of firm culture. From hours associates volunteer during work to the dollars everyone gives to worthy causes, home office associates get an annual paid day of caring to volunteer. As a strategic partner and the First National presenting sponsor for the Alzheimer's Association annual Walk to End Alzheimer's, Edward Jones raised more than $3.3 million in 2018. The firm's total contributions in support of this strategic alliance last year topped $6 million. Triangle Associates embraced our Alzheimer's Alliance in 2018 and organized 184 teams for Walks to End Alzheimer's, with 900 participants raising about $120,000. And in the large company section, we'll read Insight Software, headquarters Raleigh, number of full-time employees in the Triangle, 200, founded 2018, industry software, CEO or top Triangle executive, Mike Lips. List the major accomplishments at your workplace that propelled your company to being one of the best places to work in 2019. Exceptional leadership, unlimited PTO, paid parental leave, bottomless LaCroix, paid volunteer hours. What method do you undertake to raise employee morale? We have recently kicked off our new culture committee. This large committee of 31 employees is divided into five subcommittees that own specific themes so that we can approach engagement from more than one angle. The five subcommittees are wellness, improving the holistic health and wellness of employees, sports, bringing people together to watch, play, and discuss sports, engagement, spotlighting the incredible talent that we have and bringing people together, and philanthropy, giving back to the community and providing opportunities, media and arts, connecting people through art, music, and games. Name a unique benefit or perk you are offering employees this year. We offer free fitness trackers and monthly company-wide fitness challenges with prizes through our wellness program, Insight in Stride. One lucky winner will be for an all-expense-paid trip to Costa Rica in 2020. What's a unique workplace feature or space that you offer employees? We recently located to a brand new office space that offers many unique features to our employees. They include a library with books available for checkout, standing desks, a large break room fully stocked with healthy snacks and beverages, beer on tap, a state-of-the-art gym, stadium seating in the break room for company-wide meetings, an on-site cafe that offers breakfast and lunch, and a game room that offers ping pong and billiards. What will you do to raise your scores even higher next year? We're launching a comprehensive employee engagement strategy in the third quarter of 2019 that is aligned with our five core values to maximize employee engagement. This strategic plan provides us with action items to execute at 30, 60, and 90 days and then maintain going forward. In medium companies, we'll take a look at WorkSmart. Headquarters, Durham, number of full-time employees in Triangle, 56, founded 2001. Industry, IT services, CEO or top Triangle executive, Clay Harris. List the major accomplishments at your workplace that propelled your company to being one of the best places to work in 2019. A major focus has been to enhance the employee experience. We invested in a third-party service to create a competitive compensation strategy based on data. With this, we have created transparency and clarity by publishing pay ranges and providing compensation reports at annual reviews. Along with compensation, we evolved our performance review process to include a professional development planning session. Instead of only focusing on how team members grow within the company, we're creating action plans to help team members move toward their ultimate professional goals. What method do you undertake to raise employee morale? We're always looking for ways to make our workplace fun, productive, and supportive. We attribute a lot of the experience to our culture. Bringing together people who share your values and listening to their feedback are important. We encourage team members to submit examples of people who embody our core values, and each month we select winners to promote their behavior. Name a unique benefit or perk you are offering employees this year. Our well-being program provides funds that are replenished twice per year for employees to spend on self-care that is important to them. For some folks, that means going for regular massages or a membership to Costco. For others, it means a mani-pedi. What's a unique workplace feature or space that you offer employees? Our kitchen has had several upgrades. We don't just provide cubed or crushed ice. No, we have the best kind, nugget ice. We also care about our waste beyond recycling bins. We have a K-cup recycling program, as well as use a composting service. What will you do to raise your scores even higher next year? Continue to invest in our people, both through our hiring practices and professional development. We'll be rolling out communications and leadership training, as well as involving our management team in off-site quarterly planning and goal-setting meetings. And for small companies, we'll read about Cloud Factory, headquarters Reading, UK, number of full-time employees in Triangle, 37, founded 2008, industry, information technology, CEO or top Triangle executive, Mike Regal. List the major accomplishments at your workplace that propelled your company to being one of the best places to work in 2019. We grew our Durham team by 250% in the last 2 years. Over the last 2 years, we've grown our revenue by 4 times. That kind of growth takes a winning combination of people, technology, and culture. What method do you undertake to raise employee morale? We encourage employees to bring their whole selves to work. That means we are here to support one another even when things aren't going well in our professional or personal lives. We've designed our technology, culture, and workspaces to support healthy communication. We encourage feedback, even when it's negative, and we provide opportunities for employees to speak up in regular anonymous surveys and one-on-one meetings with managers. Name a unique benefit or perk you are offering employees this year. Global connection, regular interaction with people from around the world. This is not a new perk. It began when we started Cloud Factory in Nepal. What's a unique workplace feature or space that you offer employees? Our office is in the heart of Durham, close to restaurants, music venues, and other high-growth startups. We're part of the American Underground, so we enjoy its amenities, including a rooftop lounge, networking and learning opportunities, social events, and more. What will you do to raise your scores even higher next year? While we're doing well in this area, we're always working on diversity. Our team in Durham is 30% female. And to clarify the company's size, extra large is 250 or more employees, large 100 to 249, medium 50 to 99, and small 10 to 49. And now we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle Happenings, written by managing editor Dane Huffman. You can see more than leaves on a visit to Asheville. Everyone knows Asheville is the home of the Biltmore House, a remarkable craft beer scene, and a cultural legacy stretching back to Thomas Wolfe. But recent numbers from the North Carolina Department of Commerce tell a stunning economic story about Buncombe County and the growth in Asheville. Buncombe in July had the lowest unemployment in the state at 3.3%. And while that's perhaps understandable for a tourist town, what jumps out is the county's year-over-year growth in education and health services jobs, 7.7%, manufacturing, 7.3%, and construction, 7.1%. The name of the game for economic development in the West is about economic diversification, says Clark Duncan, executive director of the region's Economic Development Coalition. In fact, the market netted 8,300 jobs from July 2018 to July 2019. And while the craft beer and tourism industry help, the growth in more traditional industries, including tech, is helping to drive higher wages. Asheville's population is now 92,000, and metro area is 465,000 and growing. Kit Kramer, president and CEO of the Asheville Area Chamber of Commerce, says Asheville's cosmopolitan feel makes it appealing for people who visit. And while many people might come for the mountains or the beer, Kramer says that once they've seen what the market has to offer, many want to stay. We really want to attract people who don't want to just buy a retreat here, but who want to consider a relocation or expansion, she says. Duncan says the market has more economic heft than many think. He noted that a recent event celebrated the 15 fastest-growing startups in the market, and the audience was stunned to hear their total revenue was $52 million. There's definitely a quality of life in Asheville, says Duncan. It's compelling for the Gen Z and millennials who pursue community first and employment second, unlike our parents' generation. Bon Appetit picked 50 nominees for Best New Restaurants in U.S. Four Triangle restaurants made the list recently when Bon Appetit picked 50 nominees for America's Best New Restaurants 2019. Getting the nod were Benchwarmers Bagels in Raleigh. Every other bagel sandwich just became meaningless, Bon Appetit said. Heirloom Brew Shop in Raleigh. Serene Tea Shop for sake and Taiwanese fried chicken, too. M. Tempura in Durham. A set menu dedicated to expertly fried tempura. Yes. And Sister Lou's Kitchen in Durham. Unforgettable dumplings for carryout only. Florida co-working firm plans to open space in RTP. Even more co-working space is coming to the Triangle. Venture X out of Florida plans to open at 600 Park Offices Drive in Research Triangle Park. The office will take up the entire third floor at 21,733 square feet and will feature private offices, shared desks, and amenities such as a cafe, event space, and a wellness room geared toward working mothers and those with health issues. Franchise owner Tyler Evans says he and his partner chose RTP for the high demand for Class A office space in the park. RTP is a really cool opportunity, Evans says. Market research showed such a low vacancy rate of Class A space. That's a key indicator. The new space will feature private offices with soundproof walls that can be relocated to accommodate companies of different sizes. Evans said they expect to open in January and site tours will begin later this year. This will be the second Venture X location in the state. The first, with separate franchise owners, is slated to open in Charlotte. Florida craft beer moves into North Carolina. North Carolina is overflowing with craft beer, and that and the state's thirst for the product continues to draw attention. Now, Clearwater, Florida-based Big Storm Brewing has announced plans to expand distribution into the state. Big Storm will be distributed in the state by Carolina Eagle Distributing. The distributor will carry the company's main beers and also seasonal ales. With such great support from our local communities in Florida, we've had immense growth at Big Storm, Big Storm co-owner L.J. Gavani stated. UNC Journalism School gets a whopping gift. Over in Chapel Hill, the football team is off to a quick start, but no group there is rolling like the UNC School of Media and Journalism. The school received a $25 million gift from Walter Hussman Jr., an alumnus and CEO of WEHCO Media, which owns dozens of media outlets across six states. The university has named the J School the Hussman School of Journalism and Media. Hussman's grandfather, Clyde Palmer, purchased the family's first newspaper in 1909. Hussman majored in journalism and graduated from UNC in 1968. His children are also graduates of UNC. Susan King, dean of the school, says, "It's more than just money, though I have to say the money is very nice because it gives us a foundation of excellence and freedom from all the to and fro of state appropriations and the reality of a state institution. For me, though, the biggest thing is it's somebody saying journalism media is all alive and well." The gift comes less than a year since the $21.2 million gift from Raleigh Media executive Don Curtis and his wife Barbara through their foundation, the Curtis Foundation. King says the momentum is important. If you are 21 years old and you are in our school, you are definitely going to feel like you are in the right field, she says. And finally, big move ahead for Pendo. Pendo.io is one step closer to its new Raleigh headquarters. On September 9, officials, including Todd Olson, CEO of Pendo, gathered to break ground on what will be Raleigh Crossing in downtown Raleigh. The building will house Pendo's big expansion. Last year, the company announced it would be creating 590 new jobs in Raleigh. And now we turn to the On Banking, Transportation, and Tech page written by Lauren Onisorge. Dogwood State Bank opens Raleigh headquarters. Days into its soft opening in Raleigh, the institution soon to be known as Dogwood State Bank is up and running. "Our early returns are very positive," CEO Steve Jones says. "The individuals and companies that have come in to open accounts seem really excited. We're going to fill that void, being the second local community bank headquartered in Raleigh. I think it will give us a really competitive advantage for the community to be supportive of us as we start our growth plans here." The bank has already decommissioned all of its automatic teller machines, part of its plan to be an efficient, tech-centric bank. "We closed them at all of our branches," explains Chief Administration Officer Natasha Austin. "What we did instead is take the next step. We now have availability for customers to use any ATM across any network. The bank will refund up to $20 per month in ATM fees to give its customers added convenience," Austin says. "We're not going to out-retail any of the big retailers," Jones says. "What we can do to get that elevated client experience is have them use any ATM they want to." The building on Six Forks Road has no signage now, and its glass doors open to a lobby where someday soon the Dogwood State Bank logo will be displayed. "It's coming together," says Jones, "and not just in Raleigh. The company is also in the final stages of negotiating for real estate in Charlotte's South Point, where President Greg Heaton says he's already hiring a team. Our goal is to open and be operational and fully staffed by the end of the year," he says. "I feel like we're on pace, maybe a little ahead of pace." Cree CEO sees important win in New Deal. CEO Greg Lowe calls it a very exciting time for us at Cree. Lowe, speaking after Cree disclosed yet another semiconductor deal, a partnership with automotive propulsion technology giant Delphi Technologies, says the company continues to take off. "This Delphi partnership is a really, really important win for us," he says. "We've been working on this for some time and just got it over the goal line." The Delphi deal couples Cree's silicon carbide technology with Delphi's traction drive inverters, DC-DC converters, and chargers to potentially extend driving range and deliver faster charging times for electric vehicles. The combination would also lower the weight of the parts, conserve space, and reduce cost. And it will initially deploy in Delphi's 800-volt inverters for a premium global automaker, with production ramping up in 2022, according to the company. Electric vehicles are becoming big business for Cree, which research firm IHS estimating that by 2030, 30 million high-voltage electrified light vehicles will be sold each year, representing 27% of all annual vehicle sales. RDU remains a priority for Southwest Airlines. One of Raleigh-Durham International Airport's top airlines continues to have high expectations, which could one day translate to additional destinations at RDU. According to a top network planner at Southwest Airlines, RDU's sole Terminal 1 carrier, the airport is top of mind for us as the Dallas-based airline plots new routes. Michael Cole, Senior Director of Capacity Planning at Southwest, says the airline is consistently very, very pleased with the numbers coming out of RDU. And it's fine with the budget terminal concept RDU officials have announced, where other low-cost carriers such as Frontier Airlines and Spirit Airlines are planning to move alongside it in Terminal 1. We're very comfortable with our spot there, and at this point, we welcome competition, he says. Southwest isn't planning any imminent flight additions, at least not right now, but it's constantly evaluating its network, Cole says, and that makes additional services coming to RDU a possibility as it builds out its spring flight schedule. Spirit Planner says airline is exploring opportunities. 6 months after Spirit Airlines launched its first 7 services out of Raleigh-Durham International Airport, the carrier is exploring new destinations. That's according to John Kirby, Spirit's Vice President of Network Planning. I would say we're off to a very solid start, he says, adding that it's already profitable. We see a lot of opportunity in Raleigh. That means his team is already considering new offerings at RDU that could debut next spring and summer. Any additions would likely be vacation destinations, Kirby says. In general terms, we are a leisure airline, he says. We like to take people where they want to go on vacation, so thinking about the destinations that people go on vacation is a good indicator of the next round of markets under consideration. And in a section called They Said It, in investing, angels often find the devil is in the details at an exit. When an exit hits, it's a celebration, but not everyone gets what they expect, noted a panel at the Angel Capital Association Southeast Regional Meeting held at its Research Triangle Park headquarters September 11. Most of the exits we've had recently have had some sort of milestones associated with them, and the angels associated with them were surprised when they weren't getting anything at close. Alex Euler of CIT Gap Funds with Ann Charlottesville Angel Network of Charlottesville, Virginia. That was his quote. Also a quote from Thomas Allen of Wyrick Robbins. I think some folks are surprised by the accrued dividends at the end of the day. And a quote from Jason Kaplan, Bull City Venture Partners. When it's a monster exit, everybody's happy and high-fiving. When it's a middle of the road deal, I would say the founders are more surprised. And finally, from Matt Dunbar of Venture South in Greenville, South Carolina, you have to start by remembering that the bankers and lawyers always get paid first, and if there's any debt on the balance sheet, that's going to be paid before there's anything left for equity, so don't forget that. And finally, in a section called Inside the Numbers, and this is related to the Spirit article, Spirit, which first took off from RDU in May, boarded 80,966 passengers at RDU through July, accounting for 2.1% of the overall market stake, according to the Raleigh-Durham Airport Authority. Spirit's in-planed RDU passenger traffic by month, July 26,301, June 28,015, and May 26,650. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the On Healthcare and Education page, written by Seth Thomas Gulledge. NC State Research draws interest from Sony. Researchers at NC State University believe they have found the solution to an indoors problem for robot and drone technology, and the work has attracted the interest of a global tech company. Robotics technology is moving toward widespread application in future offices and public spaces, but the evolving field has struggled to find an effective navigational system due to the challenges of using GPS indoors. Mohammed Shahzad, an assistant professor of computer science at NC State, says that research published by him and a graduate student at the university, Raghav Venkatnarayan, shows that Wi-Fi signals can be used to measure speed and distance in indoor environments, potentially providing a solution to the field's problem. Currently, most modern technology uses inertial measurement units, IMUs, to navigate, but the units are often inaccurate and rely on a secondary system to self-correct, such as GPS. The new system, Wi-Fi Assisted Inertial Odometry, or WIO, uses a combination of Wi-Fi signals and accelerometer technology to track devices in near real time. Shahzad says application of the method could be used to guide robotics or create applications to help guide pedestrians through complicated areas such as airports. Triangle Pharma looks to rebound with a new drug. Despite a massive drop in its stock value over the summer, Durham-based BioCryss Pharmaceuticals believes patient preference for its oral solution will lead to success, a story it looks to sell as it explores financing partnerships for commercialization. BioCryss is heading toward the possible approval of BCX7353, an oral product designed to treat hereditary angioedema, severe swelling known as HAE, in patients this year. Company executives say they plan to commercialize the drug soon after. Confidence regarding the drug's significant market opportunity branched from a successful Phase 3 trial completed in May, but that same trial also led to a more than 50% reduction in the company's stock value over concerns the drug performed worse than competing Takeda's Takhzyro, an injectable approved in 2018. Whereas BioCryss drug showed a 44% reduction in HAE against placebo, Takeda's reported a 76 to 87% reduction, sending investors fleeing from BioCryst. Still, company executives say everything is moving steadfastly forward. As we near the launch of our first rare disease treatment, we're excited to build out the commercial capabilities of the company, Megan Snezinski, the company's chief business officer, told investors. The company's stock has been trading at roughly a third of the year-to-date high of $9.72 in January. However, Snezinski says the company believes there is tremendous excitement among providers and patients for BCX7353, especially because it is an oral solution instead of an injectable like Takeda's. I saw firsthand the overwhelming enthusiasm and excitement for an oral treatment, Snezinski says regarding the company's involvement at a recent HAE Association patient summit in Atlanta. According to Snezinski, the company is evaluating markets outside the U.S. for sale of the drug, beginning with Japan. The company estimates the global market for the drug to be worth up to $2 billion. In addition to bringing on potential partners to sell the drug, the company is actively evaluating multiple opportunities to add cash to our balance sheet, she says. Spanish joint venture paying off for AskBio. A Spanish gene therapy manufacturer, half-owned by a Research Triangle Park outfit, has received regulatory approval, a significant step in a strategic play to bring revenue to where most companies burn capital. ViralGen has received current good manufacturing practices accreditation and pharmaceutical laboratory authorization from the Spanish Agency for Medicines and Health Products. The company is a joint venture of AskBio and Columbus Venture Partners. Not only does that investment secure AskBio potential revenue, but the line will be used for the development and manufacturing of adeno-associated virus, AAV, gene therapies. Andy Holt, AskBio's Vice President of Business Development and Manufacturing Practices, says the joint venture is an ambitious play, but that it's starting to succeed. Ultimately, we're able to turn manufacturing, which for pretty much every other gene therapy company in the world is a cost center and a huge drain on resources, into a profit center for us, he says. Triangle AgTech Company has an iPhone model for growth. Akari Ag Tech Company is in expansion mode, already going back out to market for more research and development space, just a year after a similar deal with Duke University. Verdesian Life Sciences is aiming to bring more products to market in an ever-improving iPhone model. The company's chief scientific officer, Guy Keen, says Verdesian will open a second research and development laboratory in Research Triangle Park, located at 6 Davis Drive. The company maintains a headquarters off Winstead Drive in Cary, as well as other lab space in RTP. The new space is 2,670 square feet, just smaller than Verdesian's other RTP office, according to company officials. Founded in 2012, the company has steadily grown its holdings through both organic expansion and acquisition. In July 2018, the company signed a deal with Duke for the use of a 1,000-square-foot site at the university, earmarked for testing of viable nutrient use efficiency technology in conjunction with the company's early technology validation team. Keen says the new lab will be focused on discovery science, hoping to bring more nutrient use efficiency technology into the company's offerings to customers. With over 200 existing products, he says that much of what researchers hope to accomplish is tailor-made solutions to its customer base. It's like the older iPhones compared to the newer generation of iPhones, Keen says. We're filling in the gaps that we are currently not offering based on current customer feedback, and bring new features and benefits to the growers. Those are primarily driven by the customers and also the regulators. And finally, Duke rakes in $500 million in annual donations. Long after its billion-dollar capital campaign ended, Duke University continues to add donations. In the last year, Duke University donors have contributed more than $507 million in gifts, a massive sum that the university has been aiming for following the success of a capital campaign that engaged its donor base and continues to pay off. The historic $3.85 billion Duke Forward campaign closed in 2017, but the Durham University continues to rake in record levels of private donations. Here's a look by the numbers. $507 million, total raised by 107,000 donors and organizations in fiscal year 2019. $201 million funding for research. $126 million funding for financial aid. $23 million funding for faculty support. $12 million funding for renovations. $5 million grant from the Duke Endowment to expand the Sarah P. Duke Gardens. $20 million gift from the Granger Family Descendants Fund to support the Nicholas School of the Environment, and more than $13 million in endowed gifts will support the education of graduate students. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the On Real Estate page written by Caleb Harshberger. Apex Project would create Southern Town on steroids. A pair of real estate firms are set to begin work in the coming months on a master planned community designed to be the epitome of a southern small town on steroids. Dubbed Sweetwater Town Center, the mixed-use project will be the commercial portion of the Sweetwater subdivision off Route 64, west of downtown Apex. The town center will take up 45 acres and feature 400,000 square feet of space, including hotel, grocery, retail, and 230 apartment units in buildings up to 5 stories. The town center, to be situated at 2775 Core Bank Street, is a joint project between the Calico Group of New York and Experience One Homes of Cary. When complete, developers expect the project's value to be around $150 to $200 million. This is going to be special, says Dave Schmidt, a partner with Experience One Homes. We want this to look like an old-fashioned southern small town, but on steroids. The core of the development features 5 mixed-use buildings, each 4 to 5 stories, situated around an event lawn and concert stage. Schmidt says they expect to host between 55 and 75 events annually for the community. The development's core will feature restaurants and retailers to form an urban area to congregate. Meanwhile, across Richardson Road, which bisects the property, developers have set aside space for a grocery store, hotel, and retail space. "This is the most exciting thing I've ever worked on," says Marvin Waldo, president of the retail strategies of NC and the person handling leasing for the project. "We're building something with a sense of place and a place that people want to gather, hang out, and be at." They have yet to announce tenants, but expect to release names in the months to come. Schmidt says they also hope to attract doctor and dentist offices to serve as the local medical providers for the community, as well as a pharmacy. Major transformation proposed for University Place in Chapel Hill. A Florida-based firm plans to transform Chapel Hill's University Place from a traditional shopping mall into a dense mixed-use development featuring residential and commercial space up to 7 stories. If approved by the town, the plan would allow Ram Realty Advisors to redevelop the mall to include up to 840,000 square feet of commercial space, 590 residential units, and 250 hotel rooms. Meanwhile, renovation work on the mall's existing stores is set to begin soon. The 39.5-acre site currently hosts a shopping mall, a Harris Teeter, and a K&W cafeteria at the intersection of Fordham Boulevard and South Estes Drive. Concept plans submitted to the town break the property into 5 pods, each with varying uses. Pod A, up to 90,000 square feet of commercial and office space up to 5 stories. Pod B, up to 250 residential units, 125 hotel rooms, and 75,000 square feet of commercial and office space up to 7 stories. Pod C, up to 250 residential units, 125 hotel rooms, and 150,000 square feet of commercial and office space up to 7 stories. Pod D, up to 340 residential units, 250 hotel rooms, and 500,000 commercial, office, and residential space up to 7 stories. Pod E, up to 25,000 square feet up to 3 stories. The firm's statement says the development will keep some parts of the existing mall. The site will provide pedestrian and bicycle paths, and a portion of the existing mall will be removed for public gathering areas. University Place seeks to join a growing list of ongoing mall-to-mixed-use projects, including Turnbridge Equities and Denali Properties' ongoing redevelopment of the Cary Town Center, and Equator Capital Management and OCS Capital's project turning the Morrisville Mall into the factory. In June, Ram said it would begin to renovate the mall this fall. Ram says this is still the plan and that the recent concept has only begun to work its way through the approval process. At this point, it's too early to discuss any specifics, but our end goal is to continue to revitalize University Place and create a true town center for Chapel Hill. We're taking steps toward that with the first phase of renovations planned to start later this fall, says Ashley Salpaugh, Director of Investments for Ram Realty Advisors, in an email. Engineering firm leases space in Durham Innovation District. A design and engineering firm is expanding its footprint in Durham, leasing enough office space to double the company's current staff in the city. Raleigh-based Kimley Horn is moving into nearly 9,000 square feet of space at Longfellow Real Estate Partners 300 Morris Street, a 7-story office building and one of the first to be built as part of Durham's Innovation District. "Now we're up to 20 people in the Durham office and we're totally bursting at the seams," Kimley Horn Vice President John Conrad says. "The ID building is very attractive and provides us the room to grow." The company's current Durham office is at 300 West Morgan Street. 300 Morris will have WeWork, Kimley Horn, Bowl Durham, and a 4th tenant yet to be revealed. Longfellow Managing Director Jessica Brock says the building is now 80% leased, with 30,000 square feet still available for rent. Kimley Horn is expected to open its new office as early as late this year. Raleigh's Earps Seafood site may soon be home to a 12-story complex. A developer has plans for an apartment building on the same site as a well-known Raleigh seafood market. This past spring, WAJ Management bought land at 1414 South Saunders Street, currently the home of Earps Seafood Market. And in August, Raleigh-based WAJ filed a rezoning request to develop an apartment building up to 12 stories. Further details for WAJ's plans for the site and Earp Seafood Market are unclear. The market first opened more than 50 years ago. WAJ paid a little over $1 million for the parcels, totaling less than 1 acre, that make up the property, according to county records. In its rezoning request, the company said the project would help fill a growing housing gap by providing workforce housing units, often defined as units geared toward residents making less than or near the median area income. As a condition, the company offered to include 15% of the units to be available to residents making 80% of the median area income for no less than 15 years. This condition mirrors a similar framework the city recently created for developers looking to offer affordable housing in conditional zoning applications. The option was one of three included in the recent rezoning approval for a potential 40-story tower at the Peace and West Project downtown. WAJ's request also said the development would include service retail to a growing part of the city. Project calls for commercial space, residential units. A Morrisville site could soon see a mix of residential and commercial space. An Atlanta-based developer has plans to build a four-building mixed-use development at the intersection of Morrisville-Carpenter Road and Davis Drive, adding to its growing portfolio of properties in the Triangle and across the state. Wood Partners has submitted plans to the town for Alta Morrisville, a 20-acre development featuring 250 multifamily residential units, 15,000 square feet of live workspace, and 2,000 square feet of commercial space. The plans include parking for a recreational facility and clubhouse. Wood Partners has a history of developing multifamily communities in the Triangle and later selling them for tens of millions of dollars. The company's website lists 15 properties it has developed or acquired across the Triangle, including 616 at the Village in Raleigh, Alta Legacy Oaks Apartments in Knightdale, and North Point Commons in Durham. And finally, LA firm enters Triangle with $108 million multifamily portfolio. A Los Angeles investment firm has splashed down in the Triangle with its first purchase of a 830-unit multifamily portfolio in Raleigh. True America Multifamily spent $108.7 million on the portfolio, buying up three apartment communities, including Durley Woods in Northwest Raleigh and Bridgeport and Sailboat Bay, both by Lake Lynn in Northern Raleigh. The company bought the communities from Investcor, a Bahrain-based real estate and hedge fund firm that paid $83 million for the portfolio in 2016. True America co-chief investment officer Matthew Ferrari says the company has spent the last 2 years building a portfolio in the Southeast. This is the company's first purchase in North Carolina. The purchase includes Durley Woods Apartments at 5600 Briar Oaks Lane. The 362-unit complex was built in 1986 and sold for $45.45 million. Bridgeport Apartments at 4101 Lake Lynn Drive. The 276-unit complex was built in 1990 and sold for $40.45 million. And Sailboat Bay Apartments at 3221 Lynn Ridge Drive. The 192-unit complex was built in 1985 and sold for $22.8 million. The company plans to upgrade the interiors of these properties. Together, the three properties include 830 multifamily units. And now we turn to the page written by Dathan Kazak on restaurants and retail. Raleigh women's clothing entrepreneur eyes growth. Meredith College graduate Rachel Riddle got her start with the local Squirrel back in 2016, her first store. She noticed many women were wearing athleisure wear, and the popularity of workout clothing was growing as leggings replaced jeans and baggy t-shirts replaced snugger fits. Riddle thought there should be more options than Lululemon and fraternity tees, so she decided to open a second shop next to the local Squirrel in Raleigh's Cameron Village. With Raleigh being an up-and-coming metropolitan area, there's no reason we shouldn't have some of those amenities that those bigger cities have as well, she says. I had the confidence that I could open two different stores with two different types of concepts and have them located right beside one another. Glow opened last October, but having two adjacent stores was not an easy transition. Whenever you start something new, you tend to forget how hard it is to open something the first time, Riddle says. Glow carries about 20 to 25 different lines of clothing and accessories, a mix of performance and leisure pieces, and with business doing well, she is considering expanding. I'm very open-minded to the future and what it can hold, she says, noting that locations in Boone and Wilmington are possibilities. Becoming a multi-store business fits in with her business model, and she'll see where it takes her. 5 to 10 Glow stores in the Southeast will be ideal, she says. Between Local Squirrel and Glow, Riddle only has 8 employees, but with hopes of expansion down the road, that number would increase. Renowned chef launches wine school. Television personality, chef, and author Doreen Calandris is planning to launch her first professional wine school in the state. The school, located at Loading Dock Raleigh, will also serve as a wine and spirits education trust program. Calandris recently kicked off the launch of Vitis House Wine School with a Finding the Perfect Match food and wine pairing. The next class will be Champagne and Friends, October 18, which is also when Vinophiles will celebrate Champagne Day. I already had the idea to open a wine and cooking school, so I searched online to see if Raleigh offered anything of the sort, says Calandris. When I realized the lack thereof, I began to think, what if? Every time she was searching for a location, she always ended up at Dock 1053. So it seems fitting that this is the location she decided to call her Raleigh home. Calandris in 2013 became the first Hispanic celebrity chef for the Bordeaux Wine Council. She is also an ambassador of the Ribera del Duero region of Spain. And finally, locals surge into finals of Chef Showdown at the Angus Barn. And this is in a section called Retail News. The 4th Annual North Carolina Restaurant and Lodging Association, or NCRLA, Chef Showdown final event will take place inside Angus Barn's Bay 7 in Durham on September 30. 26 savory and pastry chefs, as well as mixologists and distilleries, are all vying for the 2019 NCRLA Chef of the Year, NCRLA Pastry Chef of the Year, and NCRLA Distillery and Mixologist of the Year. Some local chefs that reached the finals include Thomas Cuomo, Papa Shogun, Kyle Tears, Whiskey Kitchen, Ty Whitaker, Plates Neighborhood Kitchen, as well as Durham Distillery and Topo Organic Spirits. Rudy Thiel, owner of Raleigh's Pizza La Stella, has decided to close the Raleigh restaurant location on Fayetteville Street. Citing personal reasons, he mentioned that the Cary location will continue to serve up wood-fired menu items as well as possible upcoming locations in Wake Forest and Garner. Pizza La Stella, which offers up more than just pizza, such as wood-fired wings, mac and cheese, and lasagna, has also considered dropping the pizza out of the name and just going by La Stella. Thiel was also planning a new take on the upstairs lounge on the second floor of La Stella before he decided to close the Raleigh store. And finally, word on the street is that a new wine and beer shop might be coming to downtown Wendell in the form of Third Street Social, located at 11 West 3rd Street. The 1,700-square-foot building, which was built in 1912, is leased to Brad Ellis. This new location will be located right around the corner from Wine and Beer 101 in Wendell. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the Viewpoint page to read a column written by Heinen Landa, who has been providing managed IT services, including a premier corporate cloud solution and business-focused strategic IT consulting since 1991. The headline on his column, Plan Now for 5G to Leverage Its Stunning New Speeds. Remember what it was like trying to browse the web on a 3G connection? Or, heaven forbid, trying to stream a video? It was painful. Then 4G came along, and the improvement was dramatic. Now the next step in this evolution, a 5G, fifth generation, network is imminent. What's all the hype about? When it comes to technology innovation, the rate of change is not linear, it's exponential. While the leap from 3G to 4G was substantial, the leap from 4G to 5G will be staggering. Here's a comparison of the top download speeds for each generation. 3G, 8 Mbps, megabits per second. 4G, 100 megabits per second. 5G, 10,000 megabits per second. Yes, 10 Mbps. While it took around a minute to download your average mobile app on 3G, we'll be set in less than a second on 5G. This means that we'll be able to transfer an outrageous amount of data almost instantly from anywhere with cellular connectivity. That means that we're faced with unbounded opportunity to innovate across all industries. Consider how the ability to seamlessly transmit huge quantities of data could impact the healthcare industry. We may find ourselves empowered to evaluate and respond to test results faster, accelerate clinical trials, better assess treatment efficacy, connect rural patients to distant specialists, expand robotic-assisted surgery, and on and on. Imagine calling an ambulance for help, and the EMTs can download all your health monitoring data instantly with clear trend lines over the past 6 to 12 months. It is reasonable to say 5G will help us save lives, and it is reasonable to anticipate dramatic results from other industries. So what action should you take? If your industry and business might capitalize on the advent of 5G, the time to brainstorm is now. While we still don't know when this network will launch, it will launch, and soon. And if we want first mover advantage, we cannot delay. Take the time to think through what these increased capabilities might mean for you and for your clients. Is there an opportunity to enhance or expand your offerings, facilitate your growth objectives, improve morale? Even if you aren't in a position to actively use 5G to your advantage, still take the time to consider, deeply and thoughtfully, how it could change the landscape around you and prepare to adapt to those changes proactively. We will likely be transformed by the shift 5G brings about, but we need not be blindsided. And now in general news, seasonal changes shake up direct flights at RDU. This is written by Lauren Onasorge. With colder months approaching, there's a route shakeup coming to Raleigh-Durham International Airport as airlines execute seasonal adjustments to their schedules, impacting nonstop services to places such as San Diego, Austin, Texas, and Cancun, Mexico. Southwest, for example, has suspended its new nonstop flight to Austin, a service that was troubled from the beginning when it debuted in June, and a spokesman said it's unclear if it's coming back, though he's careful to call it a seasonal suspension this time. West Coast service will be affected. Alaska Airlines is suspending its nonstop to San Francisco from November to April. Frontier Airlines confirms its nonstop to San Diego. RDU's sole nonstop connection to that city is a seasonal suspension. At least one airline is adding seasonal service, Delta Airlines. Its spokeswoman confirms a new flight to Fort Myers, Florida, as well as nonstops to Miami and Cancun for the holidays. Most of RDU's 10 airlines make adjustments to their schedules for the fall and winter months. Here's how airlines, with the exception of Air Canada, which did not respond to TBJ inquiries, say RDU will be impacted. Alaska Airlines, as already announced, is seasonally suspending its San Francisco nonstop. The flight stops November 5 and will return in April of next year. Its other service to and from Seattle will continue on as usual. Allegiant Air did not answer questions about which flights would adjust schedules for the fall and winter seasons, saying through a spokesperson only that many of our routes are seasonal and based on vacation patterns, including those out of RDU. American Airlines is not planning any schedule changes. The schedule you see today should be it, says a spokeswoman. Delta Airlines says it's adding new flights. Seasonal service starts to Miami, Fort Myers, and Cancun on December 21. Fort Myers is a daily service through January 5. Cancun will be daily except for Wednesdays through January 5, and then Saturday only from January 11 through August. The Miami service will operate daily, except for Tuesdays and Wednesdays, through January 5. It then shifts to Saturday-only service from March 14 through 28. Frontier Airlines is putting 8 of its RDU routes on what a spokesman calls seasonal hiatus. Cancun, Montego Bay, Jamaica, New Orleans, Palm Beach, Florida, Phoenix, Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, Fort Myers, Florida, and San Diego. Some of those routes have already been suspended, specifically Punta Cana and Montego Bay. Earlier this year, a Frontier spokesman said Montego Bay might not return. JetBlue's Boston nonstop service will drop from 7 daily trips this fall to between 5 and 6 departures for the winter season. And both JetBlue's New York and Fort Lauderdale services will have 2 frequencies this winter. And Southwest Airlines is discontinuing its nonstop to Austin by January, calling it a seasonal move, even though a spokesman says it had not yet been determined if it returns in 2020. The airline plans to reduce its daily nonstop RDU to Las Vegas service by January to a Sunday-only service, according to a spokesman. And we'll read as much as we can of this last article written by Seth Thomas Gulledge. Triangle Company converts organic waste into revenue. An old adage says one man's trash is another man's treasure, but One Triangle Company is taking the concept a step further, finding ways to turn food waste and fecal sludge into nutrients and revenue. Biomass Controls, a public benefit corporation originally launched in Connecticut, is centered on providing solutions to water, sanitation, and environmental issues. Jeffrey Pajic, president of the company and one of a handful of former RTI International employees who moved Biomass's headquarters to Durham, says the company has been largely funded by grants from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, but has begun gaining steam and business from the agricultural waste industry. The company's primary technology is a small decentralized waste processing system, or biogenic refinery. The refinery, small enough to be moved by forklift, converts organic waste through a through a combustion process into biochar. The value proposition of the process for both worldwide health needs and the agricultural industry is that it reduces the total volume of organic waste by as much as 90%. The remaining byproduct of the process, biochar, is where the company's future lies, says Piacic. And we'll stop there, but the article goes on to continue to mention some of the groups that they'll be working with. But we have run out of time for today's episode of the Triangle Business Journal. I hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Today's program is generously underwritten by Brian Lee Funeral Homes, located in Raleigh, Garner, and Anger. They can be reached at 919-832-8225. They believe every life is unique and deserves to be honored so that every funeral is as unique and special as the person it represents. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.